Fitter, Happier. A program about your health for your health.
Joining us in the studio this morning is Mary King, who is the nurse practitioner for continence and urology at Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital. And we're going to be talking about continence or incontinence. Continence. I was going to say, what is the difference?
Well, continence is the fact that you can actually get to the toilet on time. You make it, you pass water or bowel, and you just get out and go. Whereas incontinence, unfortunately, is where people do leak either urine from their bladder or faeces from their bowel.
How many people does this affect in Australia?
Ooh, we probably wouldn't have terribly accurate figures. The figures we quote from the Continence Foundation are 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men. But the biggest problem is these are people that we know are incontinent because they're on a scheme. So there are still a lot of people out there who aren't seeking help.
This is one of these things we just don't talk about.
That's exactly right.
Which has been an interesting theme of as our interviews have gone through this morning about like that challenge of measuring something, you know, in a health or social services, like how many people are we seeing and how many people are there actually out there? Mm. How do we get people to talk about this issue more?
It's getting better over the years. I've been doing this for a very long time. And the biggest study they did was in Sydney where they went to 3,000 homes and they got 70% returned questionnaires, which was really, really good. And that gave us a community aspect of it. But I believe, and after doing this job for so many years, there are still a lot of people who are frightened. And there is that stigma years ago with the elderly that people ended up in nursing homes if they got incontinent. So in most cases, it's just people, and people don't know where to go, basically. They don't. Let's be honest, you know, if they go to their GP, they can talk about it, but sometimes the GPs don't know where to send them either. So it's getting better, I have to say. It's getting a lot better.
What kind of are the causes for this? What makes it happen?
Oh, there's lots of causes, actually.
And is it unusual? I mean, is it something which is just part of getting older?
Or? No, wash your mouth up with soap and
water. Well, because, you know, because that is, and I've got to speak from, you know, experience in health. I guess one thing I realised, you know, about 18 months ago, I was diagnosed with diabetes. Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of symptoms related to that.
That's right.
And some of them I just, you know, I just chalked up to, you're getting older. You know, turns out they're not.
No, they're not. It's a myth, actually, to say that you'll be incontinent when you get older. But comorbidities are the biggest issue. And diabetes, unfortunately, is one of those. So is obesity. So is Parkinson's disease. So is multiple sclerosis. Getting dementia may, not everybody becomes incontinent because they get these comorbidities, but they're more at risk, shall we say. And there are lots of other issues with health that really, poor diet, poor fluid intake, too high intake, too low intake. It's a whole gamut of things that can cause incontinence, yes.
That's how do you get that right then? If it's, you know, it can be too much, too little. How do you know you're on the right track? That seems very hard to measure.
It is very hard to measure, but on the average, most people have good kidney function when they drink 2.5 litres of fluid a day, but it's what the type of fluids that you're drinking that is the most important. Lots of caffeine products like Mother's and Red Bull and all, they've got high incidence of caffeine, and when they're stimulants, so therefore you're more at risk of having problems with your bladder. Whereas if you're drinking water, and if you're having tea or coffee, no more than 3 or 4 cups a day, and the rest should be water. If you're having fruit juices, you do have to be careful now, especially if you've got a predisposition to diabetes, because that will make it worse. So we just say water. So for every cup of tea you drink a glass of water the same size.
Here in Australia, we certainly do love those energy drinks. It really struck me when I was over in the UK recently that you walk up to a fridge in a shop there and it's a lot of water and juices, and you walk up to a fridge in a petrol station or a cafe here in Australia and it is energy drinks, wall to wall, and they're gigantic. They're not little drinks, they're massive drinks.
They are. And they are causing more of an issue in the younger person with incontinence, whereas the older person, they stick with the water, thank God. But then a lot of our younger people have got the message, and I walk around and I smile when I see them with their bottles of water. It's just when they drink 6 litres of it that becomes a bit of an issue.
If this is an issue for you, is it something you have to go see a doctor about?
If you have incontinence, yes. Only because we have now got these wonderful, wonderful clinics in the hospitals. Every public hospital's got it, with a doctor and a nurse and a physio and multidisciplinary, where people can get help. Urologists, gynecologists, obstetricians, every one of them is out there now ready to give you the helping hand.
Once I, you know, if you go to a doctor and you find out that, yep, there's something you need to deal with here and pay some attention to, what kind of things can be done to improve it?
It depends on the person too. I mean, I can only guide a person in our clinic, and my colleagues can only guide that person to change their habits. It still goes back. Everybody's responsible for their own health. So it still goes back to the person wanting that help, listening to what we're going to offer. If surgery is indicated, yes, we'll do surgery, but you still have to afterwards start looking after your pelvic floor muscle. Both male and female need to look after their pelvic floor muscle. And if you start doing the exercises, the last breath you take on this earth is the last exercise you do. You don't just stop it when you get dry. You have to continue doing exercising these muscles.
And these aren't hard exercises to do, are they? No. It's not like I've signed up for a gym for them.
No, no, you can do them in the privacy of your own home. You can do them sitting, lying, standing. I remember teaching an elderly lady once, and she said, "Sister, if I get down on the floor, I'll never get up." And I went, "No, these exercises you don't have to do on the floor. You do them sitting in the chair and or lying on a bed." So yes, they are, but it does take practice, and you really do need to be taught properly.
I'm talking to Mary King, who's a clinical nurse consultant at Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital. We're talking about continence. It's an issue we don't talk enough about. And tell me, if someone, you know, is interested in this, where do they go to find more information? Where do they head next?
There's lots of, well, there's the Healthy WA website at healthywa.wa.gov.au. There's the Continence Foundation of Australia, which has fantastic resources, and it talks about every type of incontinence that everybody can access and print off on their own computer if they want to, or just listen to the video of the physiotherapist telling them how to do pelvic floor exercises. National Continence Line on 1800 330 066, or from their GP, because their GP will have lots and lots of pamphlets in their surgeries.
We'll get that information up on our social media and our website as well. But tell me, you mentioned earlier that this is not just something which affects older people, that young people can be affected by this as well. Yeah. But is it something that tends towards older people, or is that just a myth?
It's a myth. Just because you're getting old doesn't mean you're going to be incontinent, but it's more the comorbidities with ageing that cause the problem. In younger people, I mean, in the clinic, majority of our patients are aged between 29 and 41. So, yes, it is affecting a younger population. And we don't really know the reasons why. A lot of it is fluid intake, of course, but of the pelvic floor muscle over the years genetically is changing in its makeup. So it's now weaker than what it was when my grandmother was alive. And is that because we're doing less exercise, like my grandmother used to beat the rugs and did the hand washing and everything, so the muscle was stronger? But we don't do that anymore. We have washing machines and vacuum cleaners, so we don't do that anymore. So maybe genetically that could be the reason. But it's happening in Asia as well. The Asian women had wonderful pelvic floors, but they are actually starting over the generation of toileting on a westernised toilet that they're getting incontinence now as well. So their makeup of their muscle structure is changing.
You've got mountains of experience in this area, and you've been doing this for a long time. What changes have you seen over the years in this area?
Well, especially in the last 10 years, the operations are getting less. It's more proactive in doing exercises. The medications that are coming through are just amazing. The investigations now, we can actually tell a person what really is wrong. Is it the bladder? Is it the spine? Is it a combination of both? There's just so much that has happened in the last 10 years. And, of course, the dreaded products, which I hate, pads, because everybody reaches for them first of all. And I, you know, get quite cross at the pad companies advertising on TV. You've had a baby, you're going to wet, put a pad on, I want to throw something at them. Much as I love you, pad companies, and you are, I have a place in my management strategy. But, yeah, it's telling people that that's all that's there for them, when in actual fact, not anymore.
A lot of options there.
A lot of options.
Mary King, thank you very much for joining us this morning on The Mag.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.